Sentinel Online. Now loading all things Transformers.
Michael Blanchard is a dipshit. Yes.
Yeah, that's not going on YouTube.
It'll go in the episode.
No.
Yes.
No, it won't.
Yes, it will.
Not unless you're recording it.
I am.
Right.
You're a dipshit. Yes.
Hello, and welcome to All Things Transformers, version 2.0, episode... 31.
Don't interrupt me. This is not interrupting cow season.
I figured Megatron in his old age would have forgotten what episode we were on.
No.
Yes.
You're an asshat. Yes.
Shut up, dumbass.
The name's Dumas, dumbass.
Anyways, I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and as usual, joining me is the typical dumbass of the network.
Yeah, Steve Megatron Phillips, exactly.
No, Mike, Mike TFG1 Blanchard.
Hello.
Hello.
We had a fan request for Optimus Solo to be in this episode when we talk about Transformers Prime. That sadly could not happen because Pizza the Hut is overworking him to the point where he just loses all interest in doing anything fun whatsoever. I will say that Optimus Solo will be in our episode when we talk about Transformers Prime overall once the series actually ends. And then, of course, down the line, we have no idea when it's going to happen, but when we actually get to doing our Transformers Prime review podcast, he will also be in that. But we have to do a TFG2 podcast first.
Yes. Yes, we do.
At the same time, but then we'd just go insane.
Well, you'd go insane.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm pretty much there now.
As if we didn't know.
Fuck you.
No, thank you. I've had better offers.
Don't you have tentacles to go tend to, Megatron?
No, but you have a purple dinosaur to go fuck.
No, that's your job. You're the one that's in love with Barney.
No, he just... Well, he's my bitch. And you're Barney's bitch.
No, not at all.
You love Damian Wayne.
No, not at all.
Moving on. What else is new with you lately? Since there hasn't been an episode since...
You don't even know how to come back from your own damn comeback. Oh, God. No, I am... I remember, it was a couple years ago on this show. We basically stated that we weren't going to cover comics news because neither one of us cared about comics. Well, for me, that has severely changed because I am reading Transformers More Than Meets the Eye, one of IDW's ongoings. I'm also reading the other ongoing, Robots in Disguise. I'm also reading Transformers Prime Beast Hunters, the comic that's supposed to tie Fall of Cybertron and Transformers Prime, the animated series, together. So yeah, I'm pretty much full on into Transformers comics as of right now. Yay. the current stuff. I don't know whether I'll be going back to any of the Mike Costa stuff. I seriously doubt it because Ender is giving it nothing but bad reviews. So
that's why you read the old Marvel stuff.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying the current stuff. I don't like. It would be different if I had grown up with the old Marvel stuff and kind of knew about it, but as I told Ender in one of the pullback episodes, the only thing Transformers book-wise I ever knew about was some dumb elementary scholastic storybook dealing with Wheelie and Wheelie's parents back in the 80s. So, eventually I might go to the old Marvel stuff, but right now I'm perfectly fine and happy with what IDW is currently doing with Transformers. I've been just watching Transformers Prime when it airs and, reading Transformers comics and checking up on the movie stuff here and there, game stuff. They're really, Fall of Cybertron's been out. There really is no... I mean, there's been mention of Transformers Universe, but there's not really... Like, right now, the biggest thing, and that's the reason why we don't have a whole lot of game news later on, but the biggest thing right now is Transformers Legends, the mobile game. Well, I have no interest in that because I don't have a mobile device.
Understandable.
So, yes. What about you? What have you been up to?
I'm in the attempt of upgrading my computer. Don't quite have the funds to get all the way done with it, but I'm making the attempt. Also, almost done with my one class that I have, which is Intro to Business. I'll be done with that in a couple of days. My other class, my English, is online, so that won't be done until August. Unfortunately, this year I won't be going to TFCon, which I kind of wish I was, but... I'll probably end up doing that next year, or the year after. Kind of just depends on how things fall. Working on beta version of Geekcast Radio. Recorded a couple Star Trek episodes for MWire. Well, one so far, but there'll be another one soon. I think that's pretty much been it for the most part.
Yeah, TFCon this year is going to be...
wicked.
It's going to be wicked. They have, Alex Milne is going to be there, one of the comic book artists. Another comic book artist, Casey Collier. Their attendee exclusives have been revealed. Writer James Roberts, the current ongoing More Than Meets the Eye, is going to be there. I mean, Venus Terzo. Black Arachne is going to be there. I'm surprised you didn't just say to your wife, "I'll give up everything. Let me go. I need to meet Black Arachne."
No, if it were David Kay, I probably would have. But
yeah, but you've met him already a couple times, haven't you?
No, I've never met him, not in person.
Yeah, okay. And the only reason why I'm bringing this up now is because I'm actually on TFCon's website, tfcon.ca, and I'm looking at it. Yeah, and they don't have a Proto Man or Super Megatron or whoever it is needs to get on having an actual menu for their entire guests list. But Jack Angel's going to be there, one of his rare comic convention appearances. Jack Angel, for those that don't know, voiced Astro Train and Ultra Magnus in Season 3. They've got a ton of guests. Dick Gaudier is going to be there, who was Rodimus in Season 3 of G1. The TFCon guest list is just off the chain this year. It's going to be so awesome. I wish I could go.
Yeah, I can say that it was quite an amazing experience going last year. Getting to meet Scott McNeil and Bob Budiansky and then several other TF fixtures of the past, and then of course you have all the awesome fans that were there.
Yeah,
which I got to meet, and I got to see a lot of their like the fan audio play kind of thing that they did with McNeil and Neil Ross. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's such an amazing and fun experience, and you get to meet all kinds of people from all over the Transformers fandom. Like, I saw people from TFW and from Icon Hub and several other places on the fandom.
Just to kind of switch this around to the U.S. side, BotCon's guest list is equally impressive because they're finally stepping out of G1 shadow.
Beast Wars!
Not necessarily.
They have a writer from Beast Wars.
Yeah. Yeah. Glenn Morshower, General Morshower from the movies, is going to be at BotCon. James Horan is going to be there, who is the voice of Wheeljack in Transformers Prime. David Soboloff is going to be there, voice of Depth Charge in Beast Wars. And also what?
That would be cool to meet him.
Yeah, it would be. I can't believe he almost looks like Stone Cold Steve Austin a little bit in this picture.
Or he looks like bald John McClane in another picture.
Yeah, he's currently the voice of Shockwave on Transformers Prime. Wally Burr is going to be there, and this doesn't bother me as much as it bothered some of the rest of the fandom. Jason Jensen, the More Than Meets the Eye kid from the old toy commercials.
I don't mind it, because I always wondered, what the hell happened to that kid? I don't mind it. I mean, it's not like it's...
I smashed him with a rock.
It's not like it's the end of the friggin' world. Now...
It could be.
Here's a little bit, not necessarily more interesting, but here's the other interesting thing is, the entire cast and writers, producer, co-creator... of a certain kids Transformers cartoon is going to be there. You're going to have Brian Hulfield, the writer producer on Rescue, but basically the entire cast of Rescue Bots, story editors, voice actors. Steve Bloom's going to be there. Purvish China, DC Douglas, Imari Williams. Maurice LaMarche is going to be at BotCon, ladies and gentlemen.
That's awesome.
I am not kidding. I will send you the link so you can see.
Who did he play?
In Rescue Bots, he plays the cop. He plays...
I was trying to figure out what...
On the original Transformers cartoon as one of the Metroplex troops. Six Gun. Transformers fans can tune in nowadays to hear him as... the voice of Chief Charlie Burns, co-leader of the Rescue Bots. Yeah, he's the police officer. Which, if Mo himself had a mustache, he would look just like the animated character. Jason Marsden is going to be at... I cannot believe this. Jason Marsden is going to be at BotCon, people. It's just so awesome. But yeah, the entire cast and crew of Rescue Bots is going to be there. Very, very awesome and interesting between BotCon and TFCon. And I know for a fact, speaking with Lady Rec a couple weeks ago over on the pull bag, that Steve Bloom and all them guys are going to be over there at Auto Assembly in the UK as well. And it's just this year it seems to be that the conventions are really going out of their way to... And I'm not saying they haven't done this in the past, but specifically to BotCon, you look at last year's guest list compared to this year's. Last year it was pretty much all G1 stuff, you know. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying, like, if the last couple of years I've wanted BotCon to kind of reach out and kind of spread their wings a little bit, because next year is the 30th anniversary of Transformers. So hopefully in 2014 for the 30th anniversary, BotCon can actually get Frank Welker. For more than just a, you know, hey, I'm going to walk through this convention hall for about a second. You know, I'm hoping that next year they can actually get Frank on a panel or for some autographs or something. That would be awesome if they could get Welker for the 30th anniversary of the franchise for BotCon. That would be great. But no, that's really what's going on with the guest list on the conventions. And it looks like it's going to be some damn good fun. I know... Like I said, Lady Rec, one of our friends, is going to go. I know Optibotomus is going to be going. I know Mirai Baby, another one of our friends. Kelly Carey Shoke is going to BotCon. So we got a lot of people that are going to go to BotCon this year. I don't know if Michael Wilson is going. I don't think he is. But
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of the conventions this year.
Oh, definitely.
No.
I just wish I could go.
I know.
Yeah. Switching gears. Gears. Oh, man. It's been a long week. And it's only Monday.
I know, right? Yep.
I guess we'll jump over to the Transformers 4 BS.
Oh, you're going to start with that? I was going to start with the... we can start with that. That's fine, because the Transformers news from the International Licensing Expo doesn't really matter all that much, but...
No, not really.
No. For movie news, the first story we have is no Colonel Lennox cameo on Transformers 4.
Meh, I could care less.
Josh Duhamel not returning. And through a bunch of other stuff on TFW, he says the actor finally gave a solid answer, apparently through Twitter or something. Said, nope, I'm not in the next one. With that tidbit, Tyrese Gibson's cameo appearance is also in question at the moment. Even though I have huge amounts of issues with parts of the Transformers films, specifically to the dumbass kid that stars in the three of them, and the dumbass parents at times, I never had an issue with Josh Duhamel and Tyrese Gibson as the lead characters for the military. I never had an issue with them. So either way, I'm not really that concerned that they're not coming, or at least Duhamel's not going to come back.
They're saying Tyrese is not set in stone either.
Yeah. The next one is Peter Cullen and Frank Welker talk Transformers 4. Speaking to Zap2It, Mr. Cullen spoke a bit about Optimus Prime's redesign for the upcoming Michael Bay movie Transformers 4. He says, and I quote, "I'm always fascinated by the design changes because what could be more realistic than something that transforms and can change itself," Cullen told Zap2It, "and cars change every year. They come off the design tables and the clay models, and before you know it, you've got a brand new look to a car. I like it that way. I'm excited to find out what Mr. Bay is going to do for the next look. After all, he's always going to look like that Optimus Prime statue in Transformers The Ride 3D. He's always going to transform into something pretty close to that. Meanwhile, Mr. Welker is waiting to see if he'll return for the fourth installment. He says, quote, yet to be determined, Welker admitted. I'm not sure. I did the last two I'm waiting to see and usually don't know until the very end. But I'm really looking forward to seeing what Michael does. He's always outdoes himself, so he's got big shoes to fill especially when he's filling his own shoes. It will be a lot of fun to see what he comes up with. We can't have a Transformers movie without Peter, obviously, as the voice of Optimus. If they were to actually somehow resurrect Megatron himself and have Welker be the voice instead of Hugo Weaving, I wouldn't mind it, but...
I would actually like that.
Yeah, I'd like it too. I mean, I think Weaving did a damn good job.
Nah, I don't know. That guy is such a pompous asshole, though. Everything he's in, he's like, I don't want to do another one of those. Oh, I don't want to, and he'll just pan everything he's been in, like Captain America, Transformers, Lord of the Rings. I mean, he's just a douchebag.
Okay.
Just saying.
Alrighty then. Next up for movie news, we've got
Michael Bay says rumors of Transformers 4 title are false. Says, director Michael Bay stopped by his official website. I love how it always says stop by his official website. They always say that.
Yep.
Even though it's probably just bullshit anyway. The rumor is the title for Transformers 4 is Rise of Galvatron. It says, these rumors are flying around from various media sites about the title of the next Transformers. I wanted you to hear directly from me that we have not yet chosen a title, and anything being reported is absolutely not true. When we have a title to announce, I promise you will hear it from me first. Right.
I actually want to see Galvatron in a live-action movie. I want to see whether they use a tank design, and I know they probably would, but I want to see if they would use a tank design or if they would use a rolling tank cannon design. I would be really interested to see what they would do with Galvatron.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see what they do. I would hope that they would give him a little bit more color than what they gave Megatron, just being a heap of twisted metal.
Not even Sweet Tooth could save him.
In other Transformers 4 news, the teaser poster was revealed. And it's just a 4 with a half a Decepticon symbol.
I know. Do we really need... Yeah.
That's lame. Yeah, that's a teaser poster, all right.
Well, I mean, that's... And this is kind of off topic, but that's kind of like the dumbass teaser poster that came out for Ninja Turtles. It's a green poster with black letters that says Ninja Turtles on it. That's all it says. Like, it would be cool if, you know... Because supposedly with this new Transformers movie, Bay has said, oh, it's going to be totally different. It's going to be a different story. It's going to be different characters. It's going to be this, 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 and this, and this, and this, and this. If it's going to be a different story than what we've already seen, so instead of the tagline, our war, their world, because Cybertronians come to Earth, blah, 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 blah. Some sort of... Like with this teaser poster, I would have loved to have seen some sort of tagline, some sort of catchphrase or something to pull us in, because... A 4 with half a Decepticon symbol isn't, like, I'm going to go see the movie anyway. It's fucking Transformers on the big screen regardless. This is exactly why, in general, I don't enjoy reporting on movie news.
Well, yeah, that and cutting back to the Ninja Turtles thing and with Transformers, Michael Bay's doing basically both films, so...
His production company is on the other one, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's kind of to be expected.
Yeah, kind of. All right, getting into the comics news. This is very, very, very interesting stuff here. This September, IDW gets animated. Prepare for your favorite IDW comics to get a little more animated than usual this September. All month long, IDW will be publishing special IDW Gets Animated variant covers, rendered in the vein of classic cartoons. Ever wondered what the X-Files, Mulder, and Scully would look like as colorful hijinks having monster chasers? Oh god, X-Files Scooby-Doo crossover. That doesn't sound right at all. Ever want to see the Mighty Judge Dredd as a rubber-jointed 70s warrior? Of course you have! Luckily for you, intrepid reader, so have we. This September only, eager fans will be able to find the following titles with special IDW Gets Animated variant covers. Let's see. While the content of the books will be the same, these variant covers are going to be a vivid blast of cartoon madness. It's going to be fun month, to say the least. So fans are urged to drop their local comic shop a line and reserve their copies now. All right, so the variant covers... Okay, yeah, way to drop the ball, TFW. Nice. IDW gets animated. Here we go. Okay, so the checklist is Black Dynamite, number 1, Danger Girl the Chase, number 1, Doctor Who, number 13, Ghostbusters, number 8. The Ghostbusters one looks cool because it's the real Ghostbusters. G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, number 194. What else is on this list? Judge Dredd, number 11. Popeye, Ninja Turtles, New Animated Adventures, number 3. Transformers, More Than Meets the Eye, number 21. And, of course, X-Files. So, September is going to be a weird-ass month for us with comics. It really is, because you've got IDW doing this, and then you've got DC doing Villains Month, so it's going to be really interesting to see that. Alright, the last bit of comic news I've got is trade paperbacks for November 2013. Transformers Art of Prime, due November 5th, and presumably an art book covering the complete 68-episode run of Transformers Prime, From Darkness Rising to Predacons Rising. Oh, wow. Transformers More Than Meets the Eye Volume 5, due out November 19th and widely expected to contain the Remain in Light arc, which is currently going on. Movie Collection Volume 2, Transformers Classics UK Volume 5, due out December, no indication of which issues are included. Obviously the More Than Meets the Eye stuff, the volume for that, I'll get it, you know, because I'm collecting those anyway. I just wish there was an image to go along with it. But, I mean, that's pretty much all the comic news. I mean, like, I'm really enjoying the comics. I think they're great. If you start from the ground up, it's not that hard, especially with More Than Meets the Eye. That's a funny book, and it's really interesting because I never thought that I would, like, unless it was characters I would know, like, I went into that book expecting I would not enjoy it. The only two characters in the very beginning of the book that I even know are, well, because it starts out with the death of Optimus Prime. Obviously, the classic characters, Optimus, Starscream, Bumblebee, Rodimus. But after that, when it gets in the regular issues, Rodimus and Cyclonus are really the only two characters I know. You've got a character named Whirl, Rung, Chrome Dome and Rewind, I kind of know. Rewind, I know, but not in the context of what's in More Than Meets the Eye. But it's really interesting, and I can't wait for more volumes of that to come out. Anybody want to follow Cybertron Calendar?
Nope. I don't know anybody that uses calendars anymore.
I know, really. Unless they're on their phones. But it is kind of cool. It's a nice little piece. The Optimus, though, on that first image, Fight for Freedom. It almost
Shattered Glass.
I was going to say, because it's a purple background, reminds me of Shattered Glass. And Megatron just looks weird.
Looks like he's just kind of meh.
Yeah, plus it's going off the game design of Megatron. It's not going off the Prime design is much more clean as far as that goes. But that's pretty much it for news as far as what we would find that we would actually be interested in discussing.
But I like this other one that's, technically Transformers Prime related, but it's merchandise. It's Transformers The Covenant of Primus. It's 176 page book that is the basically the Transformers mythology and history.
Oh, cool.
And it's in encased in an interlocking Autobot symbol that when pulled open emits Transformers sounds. The tome is a gift to humans from Alpha Trion, one of the ancient 13 primes, the first of the Transformers. Little is known about Alpha Trion and the rest of the 13, blah, blah, blah. And then it says, The Covenant of Primus reveals the stories of these ancient heroes for the first time. It chronicles the saga of Optimus Prime and Megatron and covers the full history of the Transformers. Never before seen illustrations depict battles, portraits of the 13 primes, and detailed scenes of the Transformers world. Offering insights into their origins, the golden age of exploration, the great civil war between Autobots and Decepticons, and much more. It says the book is the definitive in-world history of the Transformers. And the shield case is a three-part interlocking manual opening system and three classic Transformers audio effects.
Yeah, I think it's got the transform down sound to the transform up sound when you open and close it. That's going to be really interesting. I don't know about the $100 price tag.
It's not $100.
It isn't?
No, $48.
Oh, okay.
It's on pre-order right now on Amazon. But yeah, that's kind of badass.
Yeah, it is very badass, actually.
I just wonder how big it is.
It's huge. How many pages did you say it
176.
Was? 176.
It's a hardcover book.
Yeah, so that's probably going to be... It's probably going to be a little bit wider than a normal, like, hardcover written book. Since it's probably art, because it's Art of Primus, think of...
Well, it's going to also have not only the history, but butt art. But it's going to have... illustrations in it and other images.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Yeah, that's going to be cool. Like I said, right now for me in the news, you know, we haven't really talked about Prime News. The Prime News on TFW, like, the show is currently running. It hasn't been on for a couple of weeks, but it's coming back June 28th with the next episode for season 3. And really, all the Prime News is hey, episode title. Hey, longer description. Hey, here's a press release with the episode title, the long description, and the cast. I mean, unless they're going to add a new character, which they've done in Pritiking, because in this next new episode, as of this recording,
he transforms.
Pritiking will transform, and he will speak, and he has a voice actor. So that's a piece of news. The rest of the Transformers Prime news is either toys, which we don't care about at this point, or it's just episode titles and episode descriptions. I mean,
well, I'll go through some of them, but
okay.
I mean, obviously, episode 9 is the, I think, the next big one.
Yeah.
Where he transforms, and then you have episode 10, where it says Soundwave is captured by the Autobots. Megatron revives an old plan. The episode's called Minus One. Then you have episode 11, which is Persuasion. And it says Megatron appeals to Ratchet and Optimus takes on the Predacon. And then you have 12, which is Synthesis. And it says the Autobots attempt to rescue one of their own by tracking a Decepticon warship.
I love how the writers on TFW for these news articles say a Decepticon warship. Well, technically it could be a, because they have two ships on the show. They have the Harbinger, which is what Starscream originally used when he dissented, and now the Autobots have been using it because obviously their base is gone. But the actual Decepticon warship is, as you said, the, and it is the Nemesis. I don't know, whatever. But no, I'm really loving Prime. I tell you, I know your main thing about getting new comics is price. If you like the Dinobots at all, I know you. I don't know if you have ever really enjoyed them, but I'm telling you, Beast Hunters, man, that series. If you read Rage of the Dinobots and then read Beast Hunters, that series is, they're gonna do more with that series than anything as far as the Prime. Because I'm betting, and I'm stealing this bet from somebody else. I believe I heard it on the Underbase podcast. I'm betting what's going to happen is they're going to somehow, once the Prime cartoon is over, they're going to somehow work in the Prime characters into the Beast Hunters comic. Because right now it's just the Dinobots on the dead planet and trying to survive being on a dead planet of Cybertron. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the last, you know, 7 or 8 episodes of Prime and see what happens in the future for Beast Hunters.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be interested to see what happens, but
yeah.
I won't be picking them up, but that's just because, you know, personal preference.
Right.
I don't read the Transformers comics. I haven't since Dreamwave. They just don't interest me.
To each their own. But that's really all that's going on with the news.
Yeah, I think that pretty much wraps up the news. We did get a iTunes feedback.
For Beast Unleashed, yes.
It was for Beast Unleashed. That being, it's from Dan023, and it was back in April, which...
Sorry.
Yep. It says, well done. 5 stars.
Thank you.
Yes. And it says, very well done, though there are a few theories I want to throw out and see what you think. One, the water is probably for human organic beings visiting Cybertron for the past 300 to 500 years since G1 before Megatron took over the planet, in which they probably left before things really went downhill. Yeah, we'll read the whole thing and then we'll go on. Two, could be the Oracle. Be what happens to the Matrix after it was opened in the return of Optimus Prime and be living data like in Prime. And thirdly, Vector Sigma could be a conduit for sparks like stasis pods in which a person can manually alter a personality to a particular faction. Otherwise, like the early Season 1 Dinobots, it could be a hit or miss what they might do or who they join. If you have a discussion on these theories, please do it on All Things Transformers with a quick update on your opinion of Transformers Prime Beast Hunters or on Wars for a roundtable talk.
Well, Wars is not a roundtable show, it's a debate show, so yes. That's why we're doing it here.
Well, and Transformers Prime, just to get that out of the way, I really like the show. I wish they didn't have so many hiatuses in between.
That's with any cartoon nowadays.
I know, it's such a pain. They do like 1, 2, 3, 4, boom, hiatus.
Yep.
And it's just, I don't know, it's annoying. But,
and the problem is, and I know where I'm going to take this off into a tangent about this crap because it's so annoying. You know, first of all, you know, you're a new father. Obviously, your son isn't old enough yet to really understand and watch and remember when cartoons are on. But, like, when he gets to that age, you're going to want to be able to tell him, okay, son, your favorite cartoon is on at this time. And then the next week, oh, son, sorry, no, it's not on today, it's on tonight at this. Like, these channels and these networks, they always move stuff around. Like, okay, this is not Transformers related, but, well, technically it could be. Transformers Prime has pretty much, in the beginning, when it first aired on the Hub, the first two seasons, there were times where it was on Saturday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, or times when it was on Friday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. They couldn't decide which day or night to put it on. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2012 series is the biggest offender with this currently, as far as cartoons that I watch. There was a time where Nick was doing Total Turtle Takeover Friday with a new episode at 7 p.m. Eastern, and then reruns for the next hour and a half. At first, they were doing it Saturday morning at 11, and then they switched to that Turtle Takeover, and then they switched it back to Saturday. This whole back-and-forth crap has got to stop. Put it on at one friggin' time. Like, I know it's a lot of money for these shows. I get it. Like, you know, again, another example. I heard an interview with the Phineas and Ferb creators. They said it takes about 10 months to do one episode. Okay, you know, that's fine. I get it. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of money. But from what I understood about certain things about Prime, that part of it was a majority of a season was already done by the time that the second season had ended. So maybe that's why. Maybe it's like, oh, hey, we can air the first 6 weeks of the show, and then we have to go on hiatus for 2 months while we get the other 7 weeks of the show done or whatever else. But it's like, if you go on too long of a hiatus, people will forget about it. Like, you know, the people were freaking out last week. Oh my god, my DVR didn't record Transformers Prime. Was there a new episode? And of course, me, I'm always on the internet. I'm always online, no matter what Microsoft says. Sorry, bad E3 joke. You know, so I knew that there was no Transformers Prime this last week because I knew it was coming back the 28th. But it's like, it would help if the networks and the producers and everything else would actually get on the same friggin' page as far as when the shows air. It really would.
Yep. Thank you for the tangent.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. I agree. As for the first part of your theories, the water being human organic, it really wouldn't have been, only because there were only really two humans that were to Cybertron. And it's technically yeah, it's a little bit more advanced, but it's throwing back to Cybertron's roots, supposedly, as far as Beast Wars is concerned.
Right.
And it has actually nothing to do with the humans. So, yeah, that... Not they don't really clearly explain, other than the fact that this was supposed to be a different series and not really be a continuation of Beast Wars, even though it was, or ended up that way.
Beast Machines.
So, like, the Bones thing, that could technically be, like, prehistoric Cybertron.
Mm-hmm.
And the water-ish stuff could be as well, but it had nothing to do with the humans. They didn't port water.
It's
over.
Not even really water. It's organic material. It's
organic
looks
like, goo.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's the secret of the ooze, people, is really what it is. We don't know.
And then, did you have more on that first part?
No, go ahead.
Okay. The second part, could the Oracle be what happens to the Matrix after it was opened in The Return of Optimus Prime and be living data like in Prime?
No,
the Oracle and the Matrix are actually two separate things. It's like Vector Sigma, Oracle, and the Matrix are actually like the triumvirate. They are each different parts of the Transformers mythos personalities.
Right.
Vector Sigma gives them life. Oracle gives them guidance, in a sense, and the Matrix gives them knowledge.
Knowledge and wisdom, yeah. Because it's like...
So between the three, they're all different. It's and they meant to do this with, they all existed in G1 and they didn't really make the correlation. But in Beast Machines, they made it basically a holy war.
Mm-hmm.
So you could almost argue that those are, you know, all of, you know, if you related it to Christianity, it would be, you know, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost type thing. Which is kind of what they're insinuating with these. In a way.
Yeah.
But they're all separate.
Yeah, they are all separate.
And Vector Sigma could be a conduit for sparks like stasis pods, in which can manually alter a personality to a particular faction. Otherwise, like the early season 1 Dinobots, it could be a hit or miss what they might do or who they join. I'll let you go first, and then I'll go.
I'm sorry to interrupt, because it couldn't do the Vector Sigma, in specific to the G1 cartoon. Vector Sigma gave the Aerial Bots and the Stunticons? Yeah, the Aerial Bots and the Stunticons. It gave them life. The Transformers on Cybertron, Optimus, and all those guys took those missiles and planes and whatever else and built the Aerial Bots. They built robots. They built robot bodies out of all this scrap metal. And then Vector Sigma infused them with life. It's not a personality switcheroo machine. It's just not. It wouldn't do that.
Yeah. I have to agree as well. As far as that stuff's concerned, Vector Sigma, it's not. It never operated like a stasis pod. It doesn't choose. It creates personalities from nothing.
Yeah, it creates life. It's like it, you know.
So the once they are given life, they're influenced by whoever happened to bring them to life, whether it be Megatron creating, you know, one faction or. Of guys, or if it's Prime creating a section of guys, it's, you know, the Dinobots were completely different because that was Wheeljack's science experiment.
Yeah, they were built on Earth.
They were built on Earth. They were built with stupid brains, even though why Wheeljack would build them that way.
Well, the reason why he built them that way is because the models he used were the original dinosaurs from the prehistoric era on Earth. Like the Tyrannosaurus Rex, they basically copy and pasted the dinosaurs from Earth, which included their tiny brains. I mean, we all can't be Dennis Hopper, King Koopa, after all.
Wow. We don't go there.
Come on, it is the 20th anniversary of Super Mario Brothers, the movie. Anyway, but no, okay, the thing about the Dinobots in general, yes, in G1 they were dumb.
and that's what most people remember them as. But I'm telling you, and I know you won't do this, but I'm telling you, listeners, go get, it's in trade paperback form, go get Transformers Prime, Rage of the Dinobots. It actually does a damn good job of giving the Dinobots personalities, and like it gives, the writing gives them more than what we've ever gotten in cartoons. And it's damn amazing. I can't say enough good things about Mike Johnson and Marigrid Scott writing Transformers Prime Beast Hunters. It's just, like, I want that. I want them in the Prime cartoon. I know it probably won't happen with only 6 or 7 episodes left, but, like, what they're doing with that comic right now is what we've always wanted with the Dinobots.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Yes, exactly.
But, yeah, I think that about rounds it out.
Yeah, there's not too much else going on. I refuse to report on film locations. Those are not news items. Like, Transformers 4 is filming in Beijing. That's not a news item.
Or Transformers 4 is filming in Canada.
Yeah. Nobody cares if they're at the Twig Studios.
Again, wasn't going there.
Well, they could have been in Saskatoon.
Eh?
Yeah, that's right.
No offense, no offense. We're Canadian brethren in the geekdom.
Yes, yes, there is a fence.
There's a fence. They yeah. built it for the... Never mind. Anyways, I think that about wraps it up. What do you think?
Yeah, pretty much. Like I said, you know, I hate to sound like a broken record, but...
It's broken.
Rage of the Dinobots, Transformers Prime Beast Hunters, amazing, amazing writing, amazing art. Go get them, go read them, do whatever you got to do to get those. But very, very awesome stuff. I'm still looking forward to Transformers Prime, what's left of it. After that, my outs, like, it's so weird, isn't it? It's like, 2 years ago, I was like, comics? No, I don't want to do anything. It had anything to do with the Transformers comics? I don't care about that news. And I was all into toys and whatever else. And now it's like a complete 180. Hey, there's another X-Bone joke. It's a complete 180 for me where it's like now I just lost all interest in toys and I'm all about the comics. And it's just, it's so, so interesting. I am kind of curious to see what they will do for us fans after Prime, whatever that next series next year is going to be. I'm interested to see what they're going to do, but I'm also optimistic, and I'm interested, optimistic, and at the same time, I'm not really paying attention unless a news item comes up about it.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way at this point. Like, I don't really frequent the news, but if I see something pop up on Twitter that kind of piques my interest, I'm like, oh, okay, I'll take a look.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I am now as well. As far as the movie goes, just released a fucking movie already. I don't care about the news items for the movie. I just want to see the damn thing. Right, yeah, like I said, right now the comics is where my head's at.
That's what she said.
Shut up.
I should have known that joke was coming.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Anyways, if you'd like to leave feedback on the show, there are many ways to do so. First, you can visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate our show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Call the voicemail line 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. Become a fan of us on Facebook by searching Geekcast Radio Network. You can send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. My Twitter name is @SCP21. What is your Twitter name?
DFG and Mike.
Join us next time when we discuss the last part of Transformers Prime, as well as whatever happens to pop up at that time. And if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, send them and we'll discuss those in the show. So for now, I'm Steve Megatron Phillips with
Steve, Jim, and Mike.
Saying in the immortal words of Beast Wars Megatron, "Where the devil are my panties?" Thank you for listening. Until next time.
The rubber ducky is wearing them.
Yes.
Yeah.